the right club. Be the right club today. Yes!
Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Expect anything different?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the No Laying Up Podcast. I'm Chris Solomon, welcoming for the first time today, Smiley Kaufman. I've been trying to do this for a while. We heard you on Pardon My Take. Are you a regular Pardon My Take listener? Like, how did that connection already happen?
Yeah, all my boys, they kind of got me into Pardon My Take, and I started listening to it and kind of became a fan of the show. And I think Hank asked me if I wanted to be on the show, and I was like, yeah, I mean, it's, I'd love to do it. And now I'm a reoccurring guest, hopefully, and which is obviously it's fun to get on the show with those guys. They're pretty quick-witted, and it's fun to kind of see what they come up with. So I had a good time, but looking forward to being on No Laying Up. Though this is I'm moving on up in the world.
You got a shout. You snuck a shout out in there too. They tried to sneak a question in there about when you lay up on a par five, and you shut them down quickly, saying we don't.
Yeah. It was. I don't remember what he asked, but I was like, yeah, I mean, not going to lay up. That's not an option.
Well, he set you up perfectly. The only thing, I think, only research they did was asking what you shot in the third round of the Masters, which was, of course, 69. And you had no idea. You didn't even pick up on it when they mentioned it, did you?
No, I just thought they were just, like, actually being pretty good reporters. doing their homework, seeing what I actually... what I've been successful with in golf and where I've played well, and they asked me that, and I was like, oh yeah, and like I was really kind of giving them. They didn't care anything about that day or any, like they just wanted me to hear me say I shot a 69 on Saturday.
Yeah, I find that their work is hilarious, man. I do listen to it every day. It's pretty incredible the production value that goes into that. So it was cool that you and Ricky did that. But I can't believe they didn't ask you a question about Natty Light.
Yeah, I was I wasn't gonna direct the way it was gonna go. Last thing I wanted to do was get on there and start drilling them with questions. Maybe the next time I'm on there, maybe that's what I should do. But the Natty Light plug never came up. Figured there was a hotbed there, a lot of things to talk about, but they never asked. So maybe next time they'll dig into the Natty stuff.
I hear you refer a lot to your boys. Who is this group? Who are your boys when you say that?
Like, we have a group me, and I would say we probably have about 20 guys on our group me. And I would say probably about 16 of them were there. So it was a good chunk of the boys, and I think all of us really like to have a good time, and we have, just like any other friend group, we all have our inside jokes and stuff, and they're all pretty quick-witted and stuff too. We like to have a pretty good time.
What event would you say most of your friends show up for? Is there like an event every year that they all look forward to joining up and meeting up and coming out and following
you?
Yeah.
Well, I actually just sent a message to our group and said just a quick reminder that they declared themselves Smiley's Army when I turned pro, and they actually got a pretty good following on Twitter. Actually, I'm going to give them a quick shout out. Everybody follows Smiley's Army on Twitter.
Boom teller.
Yeah, and so I reminded them, say, hey guys, just a quick reminder here the Army is coming to the most literally Army, like the perfect golf tournament for the Army to attend this week at the Phoenix Open. And just a reminder, y'all aren't coming. So, I was trying to get them maybe all to book late flights to come, or just get them to come next year. But I would say Zurich, New Orleans, I think that's a hotbed for them. They really, they really enjoy the combination of a casino and Bourbon Street. That's kind of a big spot for them. Also, I think they're going to go to the Players this year, which is just a fun place to go. So that's kind of a two spots, I would say, is right up their alley for the Army.
I forget, have you committed to, I've heard rumors of who you're might be playing with at Zurich. Have you guys committed?
Harold and I are playing together.
Harold and Harold are playing together. Got you. Okay. So yeah, that format change has got to be an even more welcoming to the frat house environment that I think your buddies would bring to it.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. It's going Good stuff.
I should have started the podcast by congratulating you on being the first, you and Jordan being the first ever people to take a kayak out into water. I just want to know, were there any pictures or videos taken of that moment out in Hawaii?
yeah, there's plenty. as you can see, I mean, it was on the dang coast, it seemed like. We did that interview right before we went out, but I just thought it would be at the end of it. And we had no idea the cameras were so honest. And I guess Gary Koch, right before commercial break, said, well, if you have any other guys' numbers, give them a call and make sure they're all right. And so we get a call. I get a call from my girlfriend, and Jordan picks it up and says, Fran, we had a problem. We flipped the kayak. And she says, I know. We're just like, and we were both just busted out laughing. We just had no clue that that they got it on camera. We were hoping they would, but you know, we just thought it would be our word against everybody else's.
I think they abandoned coverage of the tournament. They just switched over and had a full kayak cam on for that entire afternoon.
Yeah, pretty much. It was. I've gotten a lot of people bring that up at golf tournaments in the spring events. So,
does it get tiresome at all to you to being asked about? I feel like with your guys' group, especially because of how big of a phenomenon the spring break thing was. Does it get tiresome at all always being asked about other people in the group and what they do and your reaction to the things they do?
Yeah, I don't mind it at all. Like, I think the most. If it ever gets annoying at the last, hey, where are your boys at? I mean, yeah. I don't know. Like, doing, like, this week, they've asked, hey, where are your boys at? I'm like, they're probably practicing or doing their thing. Like, just because we hang out and vacation and stuff together doesn't mean we have to be together all the time, which is what people, I guess, expect to see. But, yeah, it's fun, though. We have a good time together, and it's obviously it brought, I guess, my brand. I was able to kind of show my personality a little bit, show the golf world a little bit about who I am, and I like to have a good time and have some fun. And I think it was great for my brand. And obviously, all three of theirs was, I think Jordan and Ricky have been very established, and JT obviously coming hot this season. That everybody knows who JT is, and not that they already didn't, but it was good for me just to kind of. Be known in the golf world.
So you live in Alabama now. You just built a house there, if I remember right, from what I learned from Jim Nance. Are you set there to live for a while, or are you going to get recruited down to Florida with the JT and Ricky gang?
Yeah, I'm very settled in Birmingham, so I'm happy in Alabama. I got all my friends there and my family, so it's, I like coming home to home. And if I ever need to go down to Jupiter, I'll go crash with those guys and hang out and practice a little bit. But, I like being home for the most part.
Is it easy to get to and from tournaments from Alabama? Are there, like, plenty of direct flights? Or what's the...
I pretty much always connect through Atlanta. Yeah. It's like a 20-minute flight over, and then just pretty much just nonstop wherever from there.
So of the guys that we've been talking about, after just asking you if it's annoying to talk about them, of all of the four of you, who can hold their booze the least? Who's the biggest lightweight?
It depends. Like, it depends on when in the week, I guess. I'd say we're all very – I think we all do a pretty good job. I don't think any of us is any worse than the other. I think if you get, like, a 4 or 5 day kind of deal going, I think JT will fade the earliest, but then come on strong at the end. I would say Jordan probably rides it out the longest, and Ricky's probably, he goes through ups and downs, so like you never really know where Ricky's standing.
That was a deep answer. I wasn't expecting the layers to that one. That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm obviously,
you're the best.
I pretty much just get there and I just stay there.
I got you. You didn't categorize yourself to in that one at all. So I guess you can hold your booze the best.
Well, I mean, I obviously, I feel I can drink beer with anybody, but, you know, if you start getting the liquor out, I think with anybody, you just never know. Just depends on what you ate today. You just never know with that stuff.
Yeah. All right, so going back to Augusta, I know you probably get asked about it a lot. I'm curious to ask, you had the final pairing, final tee time with Spieth. How did you pass the time leading up to your tee time that day? It's a late tee time.
Yeah, I probably made the biggest mistake that morning, which was I was just watching TV and watched Tin Cup. That was probably the biggest mistake I've ever made in my entire life. I was watching that movie, The Sunday of the Masters. I needed to watch, like, Miracle. I needed to watch, like, any sports, like, hero or dramatic movie, anything but Tin Cup. And I ended up just getting sucked in. And then, like, I remember on, like, the 11th hole, I was like, I, like, switched all my change from my left side, my left pocket to my right pocket, like, from the movie Tin Cup. Like, I was just like, what are you doing? So that was,
It worked. Yeah. You birdied 12, didn't you?
Yeah, I birdied 12. I mean, I picked up 5 on Jordan there, but he's still beating me by, like, 4 or 5, probably.
So other than not watching Tin Cup, would you do anything different about that day?
I would. You know, you just never know what a day like that's going to bring. Yeah. I actually hit it fine that day. I just kind of got out of my – I got out of my routine with my putting that day. Jordan was always seemed to be putting before me, and he seemed like he made everything. And I always had, like, a putt I kind of needed to make, and I think I just kind of got out of my routine a little bit. And I think if I had to do it over again, I would just sort of kind of grinded it out a little more, focused a little harder, and probably cared a little less on my results and just kind of had a little more fun on the greens.
Well, what I've been waiting like 9 months to ask you about, on the Saturday before that, like, you basically your kind of introduction to the country, you're in Butler Cabin with Jim Nance, and all he wants to do is ask you about living with your parents. And at that time, you were building your house, I think, but he was latched onto his narrative and he wasn't going to let it go. Did that bother you at all when that happened?
Well, he asked me those same questions, like, and just kind of getting to know me in the pre-interview, and then he comes out hot with the same questions. I'm like, come on, Jim, like, you're killing me here. I'm living at home with my parents at the time. I was just chilling. I didn't, you know, I was looking for a house, but I wasn't going to, like, rush into anything. I just wanted to find the right spot. Because on the web.com tour, like, you sound like you kill it on that tour making money, so I was still fine at home. I really didn't want to get an apartment because I wanted to get a house. So I felt like I was taking the proper steps, but Jim Nance didn't think so. So he made sure to let the world know that, you know, I was living at home with my parents and that I was driving a 2008 Nissan Murano.
Did your buddies just give you, like, relentless flack for that?
No, I mean, no. My buddies didn't care. It was more about the world, like, giving me, like, SportsCenter. Like, Saturday night, I remember I was watching SportsCenter, and the guy said, "Final group of the Masters, some guy living home with his parents." I was like, "Thanks, Jim. Like, I really appreciate that." And he did, but in return, he did give me a new Nissan Murano. So.
Overall plus, I thought that was, I thought it was kind of upsetting, but also kind of funny. Of course, I made jokes about it, but I was kind of like, man, that's your moment in the spotlight, final group of the Masters, and you just want to cram that down our throats. But it was funny. I think I reached out to you shortly after that, and I asked if you wanted to do a podcast. Do you remember what your response was?
Actually, it just hit me. I said, "Oh, I'm not sure. I gotta ask my parents first." I think you threw shade at me for it, and I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna get them here." So I said, "Yeah, let me just check with my parents, make sure it's okay."
I wasn't sure if you were, if, like, you thought I was throwing shade at you, or if you were in on the joke. I just assumed you were joking, but
yeah, I was joking.
JT talked about how hard it was to watch some of his peers have so much success, I think mostly referring to Jordan. He's happy for them and, enjoys their success. Do you get the same kind of, like, motivation out of that, or do you get the same kind of reaction saying, you know, seeing your friends with, you know, these great successes? You've obviously won on the tour, but does that have an effect on you?
Yeah, I would, you know, with Jordan and with what Jordan was doing, it really didn't. I was just like, I was a fan of watching Jordan play during that great run he had. Obviously, still playing amazing, but I think I've gotten more motivation from watching JT the last, maybe that's just, or the last, you know, couple weeks. I think that's given me more motivation just because I play with him a lot and I'm real close with him. And I think watching him have that success and knowing that, you know, if he plays at his best and I play at my best, I feel like, you know, it's going to be a pretty good match. So that's just goes to show to me that if I keep on working hard and, you know, my good weeks, I know I can win. So I think I was more motivated from the stuff I saw from JT the last couple of weeks. So yeah, I've been preparing and practicing really hard. And, you know, I just kind of have to play my way into shape the next 4 or 5 weeks and hopefully get on a little run. So, you know, I think the last, like, 6 months, pretty much since, like, Augusta, I really have kind of been in and out of playing golf. I've had kind of some injuries of kind of been nagging me the last 6 months or so. Kind of been through a lot of different things in my life. Just kind of, I feel like I've kind of got everything heading in the right direction finally. So hopefully, kind of focus on golf now and kind of got all the BS aside and ready to get it going.
A lot of the guys I talk to refer back to their experience they gained on the web.com tour and are very complimentary of that experience and say it's very integral into their maturation as a golfer. Do you agree with that, and do you like the current system the way it's set up, and what was your overall, how would you assess your web.com career?
I think I'd have a great web.com career being there just for 1 year. So for me, it was, you know, I would not have been successful at all if I would have gone straight from Q school to the PGA Tour. I would not have done very well because I wouldn't have known, you know, how to handle yourself as a pro, how to prepare Monday to Wednesday, how to travel, how to do all like the little things. And it's things like that you think are so easy, but you know, there's a lot of things that, that could stress you out and add extra stress to you during a week when if you've never done it before. So, you know, once you do that for a full season and kind of get to know what works best for you, what doesn't work best for you. Like, do you like to play more during the week? Do you like to practice more? How much do you work out? Things like that, that, you know, that people really don't even think about besides just being a professional golfer. So, you know, for me, it was a fantastic experience. And obviously, I was excited to get off there in just a year. And, you know, I gained a bunch of confidence from that tour heading into the PGA Tour, which, you know, I started out top 10 and I won my second week. So without that tour giving me the confidence heading into the PGA Tour, there's no telling. I mean, I doubt I'd be in the position I am today without that tour.
How much would you say your life changed from that win? I mean, it's kind of, I don't want to say it's forgotten, but it was a fall series event. You were not very well known in the public eye at that point. You came kind of out of nowhere, shot a final round 61 to win that event. Did it hit you really hard and fast, like that you were a PGA Tour winner? Did it feel like it came really soon?
Yeah, I mean,
second start, it kind of has to, yeah.
Well, I mean, I really wasn't. I mean, I was so far. I was like T24, so I was like way back, like 12th group from the leaders. So like that's. I mean, that's not a typical way you'd expect to win, but you know, obviously you take it and you run with it. But you know, I'm looking forward to kind of being in contention throughout the week and dealing with the Sunday pressures and hitting those big shots that everybody gets to see on Sundays. But that's kind of, you know, I've had a lot of experience the last year. Being in the Sunday final round at the Masters, final round at in Boston this past year, there's just been plenty of opportunities for me to kind of to seize the round. But you know, obviously it's a learning experience out on tour, and I wouldn't even say it was nerves. It was just like things that I can control that I just didn't do a very good job controlling. So obviously I'm very excited to get back in position and hopefully close out this year on a win.
Is there any guys, maybe older guys on tour that you didn't have real strong relationships with when you got out there that you've kind of gravitated towards learning the ropes at all?
Yeah, I would say I started, you know, I asked Graham McDowell a bunch of questions coming out. He played for my granddad at UAB. My granddad was a coach there, and he recruited and coached my Coach Graham there. Graham's been a nice asset to me. David Toms has been. Or pretty much all the LSU guys out on tour, John Peterson, Andrew Loop, and David Toms, all three of those guys are three guys I could talk to. But I would say Ricky has been a very good guy to talk to, too. He's been out there for, seems like, forever now. I've pretty much always trusted his ear, same with Jordan and Justin as well. So I've had plenty of guys I could talk to and kind of ask questions about certain things. And I would say Bill Haas, too, would be one more name. Just such a nice guy. We have similar games and just a good ear from time to time.
It just seems like your guys' generation, when you walk down the range, I don't know why I feel this way. It's just the community seems to be a lot stronger. I know you don't have something to compare it. You don't know what the tour was like 10 years ago, but do you feel like the tour is a very social place? Like you can walk down the range and talk to most guys and they're pretty open and social. And
yeah. I would say so. I mean, I'll pretty much talk to anybody. Some guys are very open and talk and chatty, but you know, I'd say from working out of the trailers in the morning to see him at breakfast, just things like that, you kind of always run into guys and always kind of catch a convo here or there. So I'd say most of the guys are pretty genuine and honest and will give you honest feedback out on tour.
What's your go-to tour sauce move?
You know, I would probably say the when I'm in the trees, a good chip out club twirl. Well, I've actually, they posted one last year. I saw it. It was I finished around. I think it was actually the fries this past year at the Safeway in Napa. I was like up next to a fence and chipped it out in the fairway and like did a little club twirl. somebody posted it and said like sweet chip out. Better club twirl. Like, I was like, that's amazing. I didn't even know I did it. No, I don't know. I got to get into a groove, and once I get in the position, who knows? There's no telling what I'll do. Because I'm a very high strung player. So if I get, you know, if I win a PGA Tour, like my next PGA Tour win, I'm not going to be very, like, humble with the way I win. It's going to be like a serious, like, excitement, fist pumps, like, this is what I work for a moment.
Planned out celebration. That is tour sauce right there. How crazy have the requests to be invited to SP2K17 gotten?
Pretty much been hearing it for a full year. I think it was crazy. I went on the PGA Tour and then getting the final round of the Masters, but like nothing took off like that spring break trip. Like people probably still wouldn't remember who I was if it wasn't for that. They would say, wasn't that the guy that played in the Masters? No, he's the guy that he was on that spring break trip. Like, obviously you want to be known for more than that, but like right now that's hot right now. So I guess take what you can get right now. So, it happens all the time. People ask a lot. So we're just trying to kill the next 7 or 8 events, and once spring rolls around, we'll see what's going on.
Yeah, that's not. There's worse things to be known for than MVP of that trip. So,
unanimous
MVP, first ever unanimous MVP. We'll get you out of here on this one. This is kind of my go-to question. If you could steal any part of one player's game, like sub it out for a part of your game and sub in another person's part, like some, you could pick Rory's driver or Speed's putter,
so
anything
I can,
you want.
Like, make a, I can make like a perfect.
No, you can't make a perfect golfer. No, you got to sub out one of your skills and sub in somebody else's.
Okay. Okay. Man, there's so many ways you can go. I mean, I feel like if somebody puts me, like, in the fairway a lot, then I feel like it'll be good. So I need somebody who can hit it long and doesn't spray, hits it in the fairway. Because I move it good. There's not a whole lot of guys that hit it too far past me. So the length isn't an issue. Probably, man, Bill Haas hits it really straight. Pretty much whatever straight driver you can think of, I want him. And that hits it far enough, then I'll take that guy.
All right. Spieth's answer was DJ's tee shots. So you're not taking – DJ's too wild off the tee for you?
I've only – I mean, I guess he hits it really straight. I have no really not that sure. I haven't played with him enough. I've only played with him once. He didn't really straight that round, so yeah, I'll take Dustin.
There you go.
I'll take Dustin.
There's your answer. All right, Smiley, I know you got to run. Thank you for your time. Best of luck this week in Phoenix. Oh, wait, last one. Do you have anything planned for the 16th hole this week, or do we have to wait to see that?
No, well, I mean, everywhere you, like, go to the bathroom, the players' locker room, it says, like, you can't throw anything in the crowd, which I think is really ridiculous. I think that should be, like, the one event all year that we should be able to do whatever we want, but I guess there's a lawsuit in there somewhere. They don't want us to have a big lawsuit on our behalf, so really nothing planned. I'm just going to go play the hole. I was maybe thinking about doing a pump up the crowd, but we're just going to have to see how I'm feeling.
All right. Best of luck this week, man. Thank you for your time, and we'll have to do this again sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. Would love to. Thanks for having me on.
Cheers. So that's it for this week's episode. Sorry it is a shorter one. Smiley only had about 25 minutes, but we do appreciate him coming on. Want to drop a quick reminder to you guys. We're keeping the Callaway Epic Driver Contest open for this week. All you have to do is go into iTunes, leave a funny rating or review, and we are going to have an independent third party determine the funniest review, and we are going to give that person a free Callaway Epic Driver. No other restrictions apply. So if you guys can go on iTunes and take care of that, you will be automatically entered into the contest. And thank you guys for tuning in again, and hopefully you have another podcast later this week. Cheers.
Be the right club. Be the right club today.
Yes! Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most.